And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Good morning. Welcome to the Abundant Living radio broadcast. I'm Pastor Tim Huth, and I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. We want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. In this morning's message, we'll look at some passages of scripture to see the impact that a mother can have on her child or children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the passage of scripture that we're in this morning is 2 Timothy in chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This is a really neat portion of Scripture. Is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and one of the greatest Christians ever walked the face of this planet, he's instructing this young man, and he makes a statement to him in verse number 10. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions." And he's teaching Timothy, and he says, you've received these things from me. I've taught you the word of God. You've seen the kind of life that I'm living. You know my purpose. You know my faith. And so that Timothy had spent enough time with the Apostle Paul where he was able to know fully his faith. And then Paul says in verse 14, "But you need to continue in these things." And then he reminds him where this journey began. In verse 15, he says, "That from a child has known the Holy Scriptures." And, a great start is very important in anything. And a great start at life is for a child being exposed to the Holy Scriptures, to the Word of God. And Paul says, Timothy, you had the opportunity as a young child to know the Bible. And he says in verse 15 that knowing the Scriptures, he was able to be wise unto salvation. He was able to be exposed to the truths of what Bible salvation is, and that in fact it's through faith in Christ Jesus. And so this is an amazing testimony. If we went back to chapter 1, we would see that Paul mentions that where Timothy was exposed to the scriptures in verse number 5 of chapter 1, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And so as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I'm reminded of this passage of Scripture, and what a blessing it is for a young boy named Timothy to have a mother who was able to provide for him some Bible knowledge and to teach him the Word of God. And there's a lot of pressures on mothers today, and there could be a lot of things that you may struggle with if you're a mother listening this morning into trying to provide a good education for your children and try to guide them in the direction for a good career that'll be profitable, maybe working through maybe some physical challenges and working through some different areas of struggles and sometimes even the finances, trying to keep food on the table, trying to keep a decent roof over their head, and try to keep them clothed and working through all these different challenges. And it can be quite overwhelming. I often tell our young mothers at the church, these are probably the toughest years of their life. And when these children are young, I always say, hold on. You know, they'll grow up and life will get easier, no doubt. But it's a worthy cause. But it's difficult. A lot of pressures upon young mothers. But the Lord emphasizes here what maybe we ought to consider thinking about of what would be maybe the most important thing that we could ever do for our children, and it's introduce them to the Word of God. And we undoubtedly, if we understood the Scriptures, we could provide our children a tremendous education. We could provide them everything that life could afford. But if we don't give them the truth of the Word of God, in essence, when life is over, we will have failed them. And so I want to be challenged, and I'd like to challenge you this morning in these passages of Scriptures to consider that we would take the opportunity to teach our children the Word of God. And so Paul's showing us the testimony of Timothy. He says that from a child he has known the Holy Scriptures. And so his mother, his grandmother opened up the Bible and shared with him the truths of the Word of God. And so line by line, and maybe they went through the stories of the Bible. That's always fun when the children are younger to be able to share with them the truths that are contained in these stories, and of David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den, and Esther and Ruth and Samson, and a lot of just wonderful, precious stories throughout the Bible that have these truths that teach us how to live and how to respond and how do we have faith in God. And so that as a young child, they're hearing these truths and they're seeing the reality that having faith in God can carry them through whatever challenges that they would face in their life. And the promise that God has that when somebody comes to him, he would in no wise cast them out, and they could have wisdom and understanding, and they could face the challenge of life and not have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and that they would be able to see clearly through a lot of the confusion of life. And that this is what the Word of God will do. It gives understanding, the Bible says, to the simple, and gives us wisdom and gives us knowledge. And but ultimately, Paul identifies the first work of the Word of God. What is the first thing that God purposes for us to get from the Bible? And he says to Timothy that the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that's the first work. That's where faith begins. That's where a life in Christ begins. It begins at salvation. And so when Jesus was born into this world, he was born into this world of a virgin. And they called his name Jesus, and which meant he would save his people from their sins. And so salvation simply means to be saved. And the gospel, the Bible says, is the good news that a person could be saved by placing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Timothy was a young man, he's hearing these truths, and probably similar to what many are hearing today, that God in his love and his mercy, seeing the need of lost man, sent his son into this world to suffer and die for their sins, to be buried and rise again and offer salvation to any that would trust him by faith. And so Paul teaches over in 1 Corinthians 15 what the gospel is. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so God says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we would understand the truth, the Bible says that every person on this planet in all of history is a sinner before a holy and righteous God. And so to test that, you could look at your own life today and say, well, have there been decisions that you've had to make in your life? You knew what was right. You knew what was wrong. Yet you chose to do what was wrong. When you made that choice, you proved God right that you are a sinner. And because you're a sinner, there's a price to pay. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, every sin must be paid for. The Bible says that God will judge all sin. But God gives us the wonderful hope that our sin was judged in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, left heaven's glory, was born into this world of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of the world. the Bible says that he, Jesus, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and when he was there hanging on the cross, God poured his wrath out on Jesus for the sins of the world. Jesus became our substitute. He took our penalty in his body on the cross. He took our punishment, and he paid our payment when he shed his blood for our sins. The Bible says that Jesus hung on that cross and he gave up the ghost, and that means he died. But notice, friend, he gave up the ghost. They didn't take his life. He gave it willingly. God gave himself to pay for your sin and for mine, and ultimately for the sin of the world. They took Jesus from the cross. They put him in the tomb. The Bible says on the third day, Jesus rose again victorious over the grave, victorious over sin, and victorious over death. And then he offers salvation to anyone who would come to him by faith. And so by coming to Jesus by faith simply means that you would believe what God has said about you, that you are a sinner, that you in fact are guilty of your sin, and that you will be accountable. Again, be reminded, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God, and that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. And so there's nothing that we have in and of ourselves to offer God as payment for our sins. And so some would say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to work for the Lord. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to be a good person. And then God's response is very clear: not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And God says, you're not going to earn your way to heaven, and you're not going to work your way to heaven, because the sin is not something that can be worked out. The sin has to be washed out by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then, so the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God says, it's not something that you can accomplish on your own. You cannot just turn over a new leaf. You can't just start doing good things, because doing good things does not change the fact that you have a sin nature, and that sin nature must be changed. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And being born again is getting a new nature. That sin nature is put away, and we're given a new nature with which God's Holy Spirit indwells us upon our faith in Christ, and we are now a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so this is what Timothy had the opportunity to hear as a young child. He was able to hear how Jesus Christ is the eternal God, and how that all things were made by him, and that God spoke creation, and the things that we see did not appear by things that were made. It wasn't evolution. It wasn't billions and billions of years. It was God clearly, by the power of his own word, speaking into existence the things that we see, the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon and people and animals. And God spoke creation. And so Timothy was able to hear from the scriptures and how that God had given his word to mankind, that if man would just hear what God had to say and respond by faith, that God would bless him, give him a wonderful life. But that if man would disobey God's word and what God had said, and that God would give them the judgments that he recorded in his word. And down through human history, we've seen God's blessings upon multiplied thousands of people who trusted him by faith, by living according to the word of God. And we've seen multiplied judgment on people who have rejected God's truth and have stood up in opposition to the word of God. And friend, each one of us needs to make a choice. But God says that this young man, the choice was made for him at a young age. He was exposed to the truth. the truth of the Word of God. What a wonderful blessing. Mother, let me encourage you, if you're listening this morning, and to take some time and teach your children the Word of God and show them. Spend some time. Just read through the stories of the Bible. That's always a fun time. And it would just sit down and read it together and explain it. And so somebody would say, well, you're trying to brainwash your children. No, we're simply trying to get them the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Into the blessings of learning the Word of God and then coming to the point where the very first work, the first thing that the Word of God would accomplish is to help teach those children the gospel and that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that they don't have to spend eternity separated from God in hell, but they could have their sins forgiven, have a wonderful life now, and then a home in heaven when they die. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friends, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And God clearly says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the book of Hebrews, we're warned, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And friend, God is reaching out. And maybe you're listening to this broadcast this morning, and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And you don't know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. You have some doubts. Maybe you are versed in some religion. Maybe you have some religious experience in your past. Maybe you do have some knowledge of the Word of God. But to say that you've ever surrendered yourself in repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you say that you're not certain that you've done that. Well, the scriptures are clear. The decision is yours. God is not going to make the choice for you. Certainly your parents could not make the choice. You can't go to a preacher or a priest or a church or a denomination. You have to make your own choice. What will you do with Jesus Christ? If you see Christ by faith as being the one who paid for your sin, and you believe that he hung on the cross and took your punishment, that he bled and died, that he was buried, he rose the third day, and that he offers salvation to you, and you believe that, the Bible says simply look to Jesus. Just trust him by faith. And so you may call out on him. You may say, yes, Lord, I do believe. I pray that you would save my soul. Or you could simply just believe in your heart. And the Bible says that that's good enough. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so that's the encouragement that I would give you. And then as we look at the scriptures on our children and just not forget the importance of spending some time in teaching them the Word of God. And we know we see through the Bible several different mothers that were so key in the lives of their children. And since it's Mother's Day, let's just take a few moments and just look at a few of these. All the way back in the book of Exodus, we're introduced to a young baby named Moses. And we would read through the scriptures and see that he holds a very key part in history of the nation of Israel and ultimately down through the history of mankind. But Moses was born into bondage. He was born into the land of Egypt. And when the Israelites were under the Egyptian bondage, and he was not freeborn, he was born a slave. And at that particular time, Pharaoh was in fear that the nation of Israel was growing and that it was going to cause some problems. And he had commanded that all the male babies be killed. Well, the midwives, who were Jewish as well, feared the Lord, and they were saving some of these male babies alive. Well, Jochebed had a son, and she named him Moses. And for fear that he would be taken and killed, she fashioned a small ark, the Bible says, of bulrushes, and took that baby, Moses, and put him in that ark and took him down to the river's brink, set him down in the water, and watched him move through the cattails. And so what a precious story to stand there and see the faith of a mother that says, this is the son that God has given me. And rather than see him murdered at the hand of a dictator, she fashions with her own hands a small ark of bulrushes. And you could imagine that probably not much more tender care has ever been put into the building of a vessel than what Jochebed did that day as she made that ark and put that baby in it. Well, as the Bible would teach us, she puts Moses in that ark, and she puts it down at the river, and then she goes off and, for a distance, and the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter came down to that river and to bathe, and that they found that baby, and she took him unto herself and was going to raise her as her own, and that she called for one of the Hebrew women to nurse him, and that by God's providence, it was Jochebed. And what an amazing account of God's blessing, and what a story of love, the love of a mother who without any way that she could provide any more for her son, entrusted him completely to God. And now she has the opportunity of raising him literally with the Pharaoh paying for it. And what an amazing thing is later on in Moses' life, he had a decision to make. And his decision was to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season or to endure the hardships of the children of God. And he made the choice to leave all of the glory of being the son of Pharaoh, all of the riches and all of the comforts, to go out and to suffer with the people of God. And you can't help but to think it was because the faith of his mother, and because of what he was taught, that he had that truth instilled in him, and that truth was able to help him see what was important in life. And that key decision led him to being the deliverer who eventually God used to deliver the entire nation of Israel out of that bondage, across miraculously across the Red Sea, and then all the way to Canaan land, the Promised Land. And what a tremendous story of the mother Jochebed, and what a blessing. And so, you know, sometimes we can't give our children everything that we want, but I tell you, we could always give them what they need. You don't have to be rich to give them the Word of God. You don't have to be intelligent. All you have to do is be sincere and teach them the truth. And do you know, all through the records of the Kings and Chronicles, and so it'll talk about a king, when he, how old he is when he becomes king, and how many years he reigned. And you know, more times than not, the mother is named. And you know, you wonder, why does God mention that? Well, it's because the tremendous impact that a mother can have on the life of her children. And you know, it's been said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And to raising these children, God says, is what a blessing. And a lot of the trouble that we have in our country, it's coming from the home. A lot of trouble we're having in the schools, it's coming from the home, because parents are not raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And sometimes they don't know. Other times they're just struggling in their own lives. But what we need is a revival back to the Word of God, and to see clearly what God's plan is in the raising of our children. And then also that we would be involved in the work of the local church, and so that we can get our buses on the road and keep them on the road and go out and pick these children up and these young people and these adults that cannot provide their own transportation, and bring them in and teach them the Word of God. We could fellowship together and worship and serve the Lord together. But friends, you see that the most important thing that a child needs is the Word of God. And we've seen this morning in 2 Timothy that Lois, the mother of Timothy, was faithful in getting him the Word of God, and those scriptures made him wise unto salvation. And by placing his faith in Jesus Christ, we see a glorious future for that young man. And so I want to remind you on Mother's Day, and to take some time and to give your children the truths of the Word of God. And just a special word for those this morning that won't be able to come out to the services, and some of our mothers that are home this morning, we just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And God bless you. Keep up the good work. And we ask the Lord to just bless you in the greatest way. And as we enjoy our worship and fellowship today, you'll be on our hearts and minds as well. God bless you, and thank you for listening this morning. I hope the message was a blessing to you this morning. If you have any questions, of course, you could call the Stow Falls Baptist Church at area code 330-688-6767. 7437, or you could contact us on our website, www.stowfallsbaptistchurch.com. We'd love to hear from you. We are located at 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue. That's in Cuyahoga Falls. If you'd like to visit one of the services, we have Sunday school Sunday morning at 9:30, the Sunday morning worship service at 10:45. We meet again on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We also have a Bible study on Monday evenings at 6:30 that is open to all who would attend, and we'd love to have you come out. If there's anything we could do for you, we'd sure love to hear from you. But God bless you, and you have a great day.